right, welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Liz Robbins, and I am joined by my co-host, Roger Robbins, in the studio. And this week is going to be all about sexuality and culture, and Roger and I will be talking about intimacy and sex. And the title of this episode is Intimacy Over Sex. And I just want to give a, before we jump in, I'll just give a quick little outline of where we hope to go in these 45 minutes. Overall, our goal is to just take a fresh look and bring biblical perspective to these very important topics. First, we're going to discuss the difference between intimacy and sex. We're going to consider how sex and intimacy have been hijacked and confused by the broken world that we live in. And then we are going to attempt to take back the true origin and purpose of sex. So that's what you can expect. So let's like just get right into it. Let's talk about, what is the difference between intimacy and sex? Are they different?
Yes. Well, I think we discussing this and with our experience kind of like teaching, leading, guiding others, and then all ourselves, all of us as human beings affected both by intimacy and by sex. The number one thing that I think that comes to our mind is the fact that they have somehow merged.
Right.
Got tangled up.
Yeah, like there's the same thing.
It's the same thing. It's confusion.
Yeah.
And I remember I had this men's night with a couple of our people that we were ministering to in another
young men.
Yeah. And I said, guys, what is the first thing, the first word that comes to your mind when I say intimacy? Now, and I was like, intimacy. And they were like, they want to say it and it's there. And the main reason for that is, and that's what this whole week's topic and focus is on, is the age we live in, the culture that we are a part of, whether it's here in America, Western culture or Eastern culture, it doesn't matter. That culture, presents a lens and provides a lens as to which men and women, because they do think differently about this. And I was speaking specifically to men.
Yeah.
If I were to ask a group of women, I don't think they would say sex.
Yeah, you might get more of a mixed bag.
Yeah, I think a more of a grounded response, because I think women and their intuition, the way they're made and their makeup.
I wonder what women would say if you
I think it comes down to the culture and lens of which they they provide and, I mean, consume their information.
Yeah.
So I think let's go to the Bible, right? And if you thank God for the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
I mean, it just puts everything to rest when it comes to some of these deeper, more mysterious, I think the word intimacy, it is, you know, when you start pulling back the surface of it, you need, it just doesn't come within man, right? Because man is corrupted. So when you read Genesis 1 and in verse 26, it says, God said, "Let us make man in our image." Let us. And that beautiful little part there explains that there was and always is and will be intimacy among God, the being, the creator of heaven and earth. So the designer has to be acknowledged. He has to be sought out when it comes to this topic of intimacy and sex. So God and the Holy Spirit and the Son, the three say to themselves, their intimate natures and their loving natures and their loving characters said, let's make man in our image after our likeness. So really we see right here in this verse, this one little verse, guys, you can see the origin and the very birth of intimacy as it pertains to mankind. And it's really cool because that's where we need to go to get our fresh look. And as we talk about this today, that's where we're going to go. That's where we're going to keep pointing to how God set it in motion. And really, that's the beauty. Intimacy comes first. And that's something also we want to talk about today.
Okay. So, yeah, what we're saying is that intimacy and sex are not synonymous.
Yes.
They are not interchangeable. Sex is not intimacy.
Yes.
Okay. So why is that the case? And what is the point we're trying to make? I really think it's important because we were talking earlier with Sebastian also that sex has become this, this focal point in, especially I think in young people, it dies down as you get older, but in young people that like, until I'm able to have sex, I'm like not even alive.
Yeah. I haven't like, lived till
like, I haven't reached the point where my life has begun until I'm having sex.
Right.
And we know this, of course, cannot be true, especially from a biblical perspective, knowing that God has designed us to know him and be known by him. And when we talk about that, we are talking about intimacy. Intimacy with God, first and foremost, and then intimacy with each other. And that actually is an absolute basic human need.
Yes.
Like we, in order to flourish, be healthy, be mentally and physically well, we need intimacy with other people. Family, community, friendship, all of those things can have and do provide us with intimacy, even if sex is nowhere in that picture. And I, of course, because it's an easy thing to do, I looked on dictionary.com and Webster's and just got the definition of intimacy, which is the noun of the state of being intimate. So the state of being intimate is close, familiar, usually affectionate or loving personal relationship. That's dictionary.com. And then the other one is from Webster's is marked by a warm friendship developed through long association. So if we can just try to, for a second, get some clarity on these two words. When we talk about intimacy, we are not automatically talking about something sexual in nature, but we are talking about something close, affectionate, personal. It's intimate.
Right.
And sex, the physical act of sex, can be done outside of intimacy, devoid of it. It can be done in an abusive situation. It can be done with no love at all, with no knowing of a person.
Yes.
So I liked when you said that intimacy is the forerunner. Like if we're talking to young people today who are maybe in that boat where they feel like they're not alive yet because they haven't had sex, intimacy, that is what you should be searching for in your relationships and developing and cultivating. And that takes time.
Right.
It means a building of trust. It means so many wonderful, important things that are so fulfilling and found with the Lord, like to be known, and fully loved.
Right.
Is actually only possible with God.
Yeah.
Like you don't fully know me.
Yes.
Right? Like, you don't know my heart the way that God knows my heart. And I don't expect you to.
Right.
This is an earthly relationship that we have. Even if we are intimately related, we don't have what I have with my Savior or what I can have, the potential that I can have there.
And that's because God's the initiator. He's the one that did this first, guys.
Like,
let's just put that on the table.
We are like a shadow.
God didn't need sex to create man. You know, it's interesting that God uses words to create man, which is very closely related to intimacy, is our words, is our tongue, right? Like I can, and then our ear is the other thing, but I think the tongue, number one, is what could build the intimacy. If you are looking for it or lacking it, you know, this is how you get it. God spoke and he understood. He knew because he was intimate and he created intimacy. And then number two, he did it in his likeness. So like he made the representation and the copy mm-hmm. of what he was experiencing and who he is.
Yeah.
He like brought it out. And that origin and that design is so beautiful. It's such a mystery, mm-hmm. right? And that's why it says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, like, don't forget the Creator in the days of your youth, because they're going to be an evil day and you won't be able to find pleasure,
yeah.
which is interesting. Like, forget about God and then you forget about the design and then and the intimacy, and then mm-hmm. you lose the pleasure or what comes with intimacy.
Yeah.
And so like let's further define that a little bit more, I think.
Yeah.
I think intimacy is something that we would say, that the Bible says, is a basic need, right?
A basic need.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man and woman, we see in Genesis, the book of Genesis, is created, and that God recognized that man should not be alone. And so the relationship in which God had and has with the triune, three, right? The Father, Son, and Spirit, made in the, man made in his image, and now he needs it. So the need of intimacy, and I think the word relationship should be brought in.
Yeah.
The word, the idea of relationship is the essential makeup of man's needs.
Yes.
To be known.
Yeah.
And to know, or to know and to be known,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And God did that through expressing himself, making man in his image. So I need to be loved mm-hmm. and I need to love. Like we learn this in our biblical psychology. And the Bible is that book of biblical psychology. Knowing the depths of man's need is the actual releasing and unleashing and opening of this mystery that is actually a great blessing. So that's why intimacy is the forerunner. It's
yeah.
the one that goes ahead. It
yes.
is, it, it's the leader.
That. I think that adds just so much clarity, because I hope nobody thinks we're like trashing sex. Like that's not what we're saying, but let's put it in its place. Like intimacy is so much more foundational and important,
life-giving
than sex. And that's not to say, because we are going to talk mm-hmm. about sex.
Yes.
And we're married, we have three children. So, okay. we're pro sex, obviously,
together.
But I think it even helps in marriage mm-hmm. in whatever phase of life you're in, whether you are single or married or divorced or widowed or a teenager or whatever, for you to frame this correctly, it just brings health to both.
Yeah.
So, because a marriage can lack intimacy,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's,
a house can lack intimacy.
Like,
a
intimacy
church.
Is the goal. Like, that should be, that's the prize. Like, what an incredible gift it is when you have a friend who you have this intimate friendship with, mm-hmm. that they know you. They know your quirks. They know your mistakes. They know the stories. They know, your hopes, your dreams, and they're right there next to you and they're listening, and you have that for them. Like, intimacy, it requires this beautiful trust
mm-hmm.
and safety, that if it's lacking, then things are broken.
Mm-hmm.
And if your life is lacking intimacy, and I'm not saying if your life is lacking sex, I'm very
yes,
specifically not saying
good.
That. I'm saying if your life lacks intimacy, then you are lacking, like
right.
you are in need.
So true.
If your life lacks sex and yet you have intimacy in your life,
yeah.
you are not lacking.
Right.
Like, you are whole, you are fulfilled, you find purpose in that, you find belonging.
So why is that, right? Like,
yeah.
I think we hit it last week, was 1 Corinthians 6. Maybe we just read the verses real quick.
And then I want to read Matthew Henry's comment, because I do love that.
Oh yeah, let's do that first.
Can I read that?
Yeah, yeah.
In Matthew Henry's commentary on Genesis 2:17, where God says, "It is not good for man to be alone." This is what he says. He says, "Man is a sociable creature. It is a pleasure to him to exchange knowledge and affection with those of his own kind, to inform and be informed, to love and be beloved." I love that. "What God here says of the first man, Solomon says of all men," in Ecclesiastes 4:9, "that two are better than one, and woe to him that is alone. If there were but one man in the world, what a melancholy man he need be. Perfect solitude would turn a paradise into a desert, and a palace into a dungeon. Mm. Those, therefore, are foolish, who are selfish and would be placed alone on the earth." Mm. Imagine, like, having a palace and being miserable. We can imagine that.
Yes.
We know, like, celebrities who end their lives in yes. their palaces. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
That a paradise could become a desert where you wow. feel like it's dry and parched and empty because you're lacking intimacy.
Yes.
Not lacking sex.
Yes.
So, it speaks to what we talked about in the episode, about smartphones, which if you haven't listened to that episode,
that's a good,
please do
connection.
Yeah. But in the research for that, we came upon that report about, the epidemic of loneliness and isolation that's happening. And in young adults,
which is really the lack of intimacy.
And they don't use the word intimacy yeah. there. But when I thought about it, the social disconnection that leads to mental and physical health problems, this is what the research is showing. And I thought, oh my gosh, like this is directly speaking to the truth that intimacy is a basic foundational human need, that if we don't have that, we are unwell, even perhaps physically unwell. And I think that's just to clarify again the importance that we would, in our lives, seek to cultivate intimate friendships, intimate relationships, whether they are romantic or otherwise, whether you are celibate or married,
right.
whether you are, you know, like that intimacy would be the forerunner. It would be the goal with God and with people.
And that's kind of like, let's put these in 1 Corinthians 6, it's put in its rightful context.
Yeah.
Like the food that we eat is for the belly that we have, right?
Where is that verse?
And it's in 1 Corinthians 6. Okay.
Verse
13. "Food is meant for the stomach and stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. But for the Lord and the Lord for the body." And verse 14. "And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know?" And I like that phrase because that's what we're speaking to right now, guys. Mm-hmm. "Do you not know the difference?" They got confused.
Yeah.
"Do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh." Okay.
Which is from Genesis 2.
Yes.
We just
And then verse 17, "But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him." And it warns us of fleeing from sexual immorality. So why is that? And may we go to the next verse and we save that for later. But
yeah,
the mechanics of our creation, like the very parts of us, are all in its rightful place and they have their own design. But intimacy is kind of like the, not only the forerunner, but it's the one that supplies life to all the other parts. Now, if I were to like, as you said earlier, like not have sex, but I have intimacy, I can supply myself and help myself in areas where I lack, right? Now, food here, it says, is clear that we have a stomach, an organ that needs, that has an appetite, that is like insatiable and also living on the body, living on its nutrition. Now, sex in its rightful place is in itself life-giving. We understand its target goal. God's target goal was Be fruitful and multiply.
Life-giving.
It is life-giving.
Babies.
However, outside of God's design, and okay, let's go into the divine institutions of God, right? Mm-hmm. We have free will, and then the next one is marriage.
Yeah.
And marriage is, in its framework, the very place where we see sex expressed, given, and lived in, along with intimacy.
Yeah.
But if we skip ahead, think about free will as your first institution. Free will to choose God. Free will to receive Him and to acknowledge Him and or reject Him.
Yeah.
So the first institution opens the door for the second one. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. Like, you could maybe think of that as a young adult. Maybe if you're not married yet, or you're looking, or you're understanding, hey, you know, I had a concept that intimacy meant sex and I haven't lived yet. So no, you have a free will, and live and express yourself and respond to God in this divine institution given to you, your free will, and experience intimacy and be satisfied.
Yeah.
So then it goes on to say that, in verse, it says here at the end of verse 18, it says, and every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but sexual immoral person sins against his own body.
Mm.
So there is a warning about sex, because it's not an outward sin.
Yes.
It's an inner sin, meaning it's in the framework of not the stomach, but of like the body, the inner body, like the soul, the psyche, the mind.
Yeah.
And that's where the devil has targeted.
Yep.
He has his own counterfeit or like pseudo intimacy that he is promoting and spreading in the world.
Well, isn't that what sex is?
Yeah.
It's like it's being presented as a way to get close to somebody. Like, how many times have I heard somebody say, like, how could I wait until marriage to have sex? Like, I won't even know him. How do I know what he's like? And it's such a superficial counterfeit.
Yes.
You know, offering that, like, oh, now you know a person because you've had sex with them. Like, once you say it, it's like, what? Like, no.
And so that was your question about hijacking, right? What was that?
I had a thought about this verse, though, I want to say real quick, because it just came to me that it's really cool. Like, where it says, in 1 Corinthians 6, that's where we are, and it says verse 16, or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. This is like it's such a clear picture that marriage and sex were never meant to be divided. They were never meant to be separate from each other. They're saying, basically, because when we teach on this, that they become one flesh, it's that they're married.
Mm-hmm.
When in Genesis, I mean, that is the foundation of marriage in the way that we view God's design, is that when sex, consummation of the marriage, this is when you become one flesh and you are married.
Mm.
And he's basically saying, if a person were to have sex outside of marriage, and in this case with a prostitute, so paid sex, the cheapest version in many ways, it's like he married her, but he didn't.
Yes.
And that's why that's such a sin, because he's doing something that is so sacred and meant to never have been divided from marriage. And I think in 2023, like, it's hard for us to even understand that, because it's so common now that sex is so widespread outside of marriage and all its forms and all its brokenness. That seems like a novel idea to think that what this verse is saying is that when you go and have sex with somebody, it's like you married them.
Mm.
And in the world today, it is. But you didn't.
Yeah.
And you don't have intimacy and you don't have commitment and there isn't faithfulness and there's no care and there's no trust. It's so broken and it's such a sin against yourself, like it says.
Right.
And of course that person also.
Well, and then, okay, so
Sorry, talk about. I just wanted to say.
Well, let's talk about the hijacking.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So let's talk about sex.
Yeah. Well, the hijacking.
If you
of
had
sex.
That song, I don't think it. No.
We could hit the button.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Oh, there it is. We used it.
Yes.
Come on.
Okay. So we're going to talk about sex. We've made it clear that intimacy is not sex, and sex is not intimacy. But there is a connection. They're not synonymous. And we know that from, you know, this example here.
Yeah.
A man can have sex with a woman, paid, or just a one-night stand, and it can completely lack intimacy. So now let's try to consider the way that the world has, from the beginning, really, like we use the word hijacked sex, because sex really was designed and beautifully intended by God to have a purpose and a place. And we almost don't recognize that today because it is so rampant. And so.
Yes. You know. So the hijacking takes place, we know, when sin enters man and enters Adam and Eve. And the hijacking also comes in with a counterfeit. So, yeah. And the very first thing that happens is man is not submitted to God. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
If you're not submitted to God, then you're susceptible and you are more likely, number one, to do your own thing, to go your own way, as it says throughout the Pentateuch, like the first five books. Like, we see how Israel goes its own way.
Yeah.
And it's just a reminder to us of like what it's like when we're, when the man, the initiator, is not submitted to God, to the one who's giving him his intimacy and giving him and has created his drive, his faculties, and given him the ability to have sex, right? So not submitted to that, and then living out his own life.
Yeah.
So, and then we it's provided, the devil is providing the temptations of man, knowing that like if I give it a pseudo intimacy or a fake intimacy, I can continue to keep him or her on this track.
Yeah.
And keep them separated from discovering who God is, to be known and to be and to know. So the hijacking that takes place is the very hijacking that we find in our Bibles when man, number one, or woman, chooses to bow down and to submit to God. Mm-hmm. Really, like it's in that very moment that the change takes place.
Yeah.
And like this whole intimacy and sex, and that's what we're saying, like in 2023 today, you know, like last week we asked about a reckoning to take place in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this week, it's like, can you discern who is the forerunner?
Yeah.
Who is the one running here? If it's intimacy wants to go to its maker, he wants to be known and to know. Like, that's the heart of man. It's our design. Mm-hmm. So the hijacking takes place, but then we can get it back.
Yeah, we can get it back.
And that's where sex gets put into its proper place and becomes the amazing blessing that it is.
Yeah. Because I think that it's been so long since we've had a pure view of sex. It's since the garden. Like, since the garden and the fall, we see already in the book of Genesis the depravity that comes to the point where, you know, God tells Noah to build an ark, right? And a lot of that has to do with the sexual perversion that was going on in the day. So that's the very first book of the Bible,
right?
Which is in and of itself an ancient book.
Yes.
So
it's nothing new.
This is not new. Yeah. So that was always like helpful to me to frame this, that yes, we have, you know, social media and the rise of pornography in all of its forms. Like, the sexual brokenness is on display sharply today. Like, it is acute. But at the same time, it is nothing new when you consider, you know, the Roman times and the way that, you know, there were temple prostitutes.
Yeah. Artemis,
and, yeah,
the Greek god. I mean,
I mean, there was so much brokenness. And I think it's even in the Old Testament, right? We see so much sexual brokenness where, you know, Hagar is a victim of sex being like basically weaponized. One wife wants to have a son, can't have it, brings in her servant. Like there's been for so long this corruption of this mm-hmm. beautiful thing that mm-hmm. it can be hard for us to see it for what it is.
Right.
And I guess that's what we're hoping we can help with today is
yes.
to just try to clear the, you know, the debris.
Yeah, the muddiness, the gray.
The hurt, right? Mm-hmm. Like the abuse, the brokenness that's all around so that we could actually get a glimpse of what it was really meant
yes.
to be.
Well, now let's give the taking back moment its place, right? 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, it says that Jonathan loved David like his own soul.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we see when we're exhorted as Christians and as husbands that in the divine institution of the home and of marriage,
mm-hmm.
right, that husbands should love their wives as they love themselves.
Yep.
Okay.
Love their bodies as their own
now,
bodies.
Now follow this with me, guys. So intimacy designed by God is God, created by God, the greatest intimate being in all the world is God mm-hmm. and personified through the life of Christ. To take back intimacy is to love someone like you love yourself.
Yeah.
And that is a sacrificial thing.
Yep.
That is not a natural thing. To love someone as you love yourself. And it says that in Romans 8:32, that God did not spare himself. Like he
yeah.
didn't spare his son. He didn't spare
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Right? He gave him freely to us.
Mm-hmm.
So intimacy is loving someone like you love yourself. And God did it. God is asking us to do it.
Yeah.
And if we follow that way, we take it all back. We can get everything back that was once lost.
Yeah.
And that's what it says in Hosea. Hosea, I think it's chapter 3. God's like, go again and get her. Do
yeah.
it again.
Yeah.
I want you to like do it again.
Yeah.
Go again. I think it's mm-hmm. Hosea chapter 3, right at the beginning. Like, go again. I want, like, what? I got to do this again?
Yeah.
And that very act, that daily approach is in itself taking back what could have been confused or maybe is confused in your life.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting, and I know we've only got 5 minutes left, so we're going to cruise
through
this.
I think we got 10.
Ten minutes, right.
Yeah.
That like we are very well aware that the listeners are coming from all different experiences
right.
when it comes to both of these topics.
Right.
Some maybe never saw intimacy modeled in their homes with their parents. Maybe it sounds absurd to them, like a foreign concept. Some of you may have had sex weaponized against you. You may have suffered abuse. There's so much that we don't know about the listeners, and we just want you to understand, and just we hope that you hear our hearts in this, that we mm-hmm. are saying that by the grace of God alone, mm-hmm. it really is possible to have a view of these topics, intimacy and sex and marriage, all of these things, relationships, friendships, you are able to have a view of those that's healed and whole.
Yes.
By the grace of God and his Holy Spirit working in you. And if this topic is really touching a nerve or even like triggering many difficult memories, like we're with you and our heart breaks for people who have had abuse and trauma and pain around this subject.
Mm-hmm.
And all the more reason to receive like what God meant for it to be.
Yeah.
If you didn't have that and you don't, or you don't have it and you don't see it, that's not what it was meant to be.
Right.
That's not God's heart for it. Sex was invented by God.
Mm.
It was not invented by men. The way that it has been used and abused
and weaponized,
and
right?
weaponized can make it feel that it is like an invention of some man twisted. Somewhere at some mm-hmm. point. And there have been many inventions over the millennia.
Right.
But sex is not one of them. Like, God designed us for this. He yes. designed a man and a woman to be complementary to each other in their biological parts
yes.
so that they could come together in marriage and be fruitful.
Mm.
And it's beautiful. And if when I say those words, it doesn't sound beautiful to you, understand that that comes from the brokenness of the world and sin in your heart, in your soul, that God desires to heal.
Yes.
Okay. So I just want to say that because it is very sensitive. We don't want to overstep or whitewash or any of those things. But when we talk about the beauty of sex, we really do mean it in its intended place by the God who created us and knows you and I better than we know each other.
Yes.
Oh
man, that was good.
You know,
I could listen to that all day.
Yeah, because the result of the brokenness, I wrote a list, which is not all, you know, not a totally covering everything, but what has come from the brokenness we see when it comes to sex is, you know, trauma, like we mentioned, abuse, PTSD, unwanted pregnancies, abortion, right? Like, these are fruits of this brokenness.
Hmm.
It's rotten fruits. Fatherless children, you know, single parent homes, human trafficking, sexually transmitted diseases. Like, there's so much rotten fruit that's come from the brokenness that we see. And that's why we were saying, let's take it back. Like, let's not, you know, not talk about sex. It's not taboo. It's wonderful. Let's take it back and put it where it belongs and talk about it in a way that's honoring God's design.
Mm.
You know? And I think even the church in the past, we mentioned like the idea that virginity equals holiness was something that was taught in the church in the early, you know, second, third, and fourth centuries, where virginity was really glorified.
Yeah.
And
it was personified as
we see that
status.
Even today in the Catholic Church in their celebration of celibacy as maybe a little more holy. And perhaps to my Catholic listeners would disagree and say there's a balance there. And there probably is. But we do see the bad fruit of amplifying and distorting this issue when really it has a place.
Yes.
And so we want to take it back, really. Yeah. We just want to help all of us take it back.
Let's think about this. Jesus comes. He just comes. He came. Praise God, he came 2,000 years ago and spent some years with us. Like, and that it was recorded. And I love this verse. It came to me, and it's Matthew 9, and it says, and when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd.
Mm.
And, you know, that is what we have, that is what has touched your life and ours, is the fact that we were harassed and helpless, you know? Given man by himself, given us without God, you know, forgetting our creator in the days of our youth, it has harassed us. It has kept us in a dungeon. It has put us on an island, right? That's what we're saying. But Jesus had compassion. He had intimacy.
Mm.
He knew intimacy. He was intimacy.
He knew their hearts, says, right?
Yeah. So
like, wow.
He saw that they didn't have a shepherd. And that's where the Holy Spirit from Pentecost to rapture, here we go. As long as, you know, in that period that which we are in today, you know, Pentecost to rapture, we're in that period. If you are out there today looking for intimacy, you can find it through the Holy Spirit. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, he is waiting. You accept him in your heart. You can be born again. And through the Holy Spirit comes the Word of God, which is the living, intimate one. Mm-hmm. It is the Logos. It knows you, right? It's the only book that knows me. I love that Pastor Silva, a pastor in our in a church in Mumbai, said that once, and it always sticks with me. The only book that knows me, right? Like, I'm going to get into this intimate book. I'm going to get to know the intimate one. Mm. And so God knows, and Jesus said in Matthew 23, I wish they would obey me, because I would be like a hen.
Yeah.
With that would come over with with her wings and grab them together and pull them in and hold them close.
That's why intimacy is so beautiful, because it involves that free will, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's saying, like, if you would come to me, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you.
Yes.
Like, he's giving us the choice, and we should be thankful for that he does not just force us, but he's calling us, like, he's gently calling us. Like, we were hearing about, we had a great women's seminar here, and I loved this idea that Jesus is at the door in Revelations 3, and he's calling.
Mm.
That we have a God who calls, like, he knocks. Like, imagine the type of God who would stoop down to knock, and he waits. It says he stands. He's waiting to knock. It's beautiful.
It's incredible. And
the intimacy that we get from him, it brings that purpose, that identity, that security, that then leads to healthy, intimate relationships with the people around us. So it really does start with intimacy with God, and then intimacy with people around you. And then, yes, you might have sex, but you might not.
Right.
And so,
and that's what we're saying today.
This is important, that we get these things in the right order.
Yes.
And then if you do find your place in marriage and you're able to have sex, your view of it is balanced.
Yes.
You understand that it is not the totality of your marriage.
It's a part of a whole.
It's a very small part of a whole.
Yeah, and its intimacy is still your forerunner.
Yes.
Right? As you bring life, right? You could bring children a home. So intimacy, let intimacy be your guide, you know? And that guide is God, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. And for those out there listening today, we encourage you that you would find that in your morning devotional, in your prayer at night, in your church, wherever you are, find that place. God has provided a place. He's prepared a table in the wilderness for you.
Yeah. So we really hope that this has stirred you up to think about this topic and maybe give it a fresh look wherever you are, because it's worth taking the time and possibly the discomfort of wrestling with this until you land where God lands on this, because God is good and he is kind. And he is holy, and he's rich in love for us. And the same cannot be said of the broken world around us. So we really hope that you can take back your view of sex and intimacy, and that we've encouraged you to do that. We'd love to hear from you on this.
Yes, and thank you for everyone that commented this morning. John 17, awesome chapter about intimacy between the Father and the Son. That was great. Thank you.
So thank you for joining us today. And don't forget to subscribe all the places, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, and more. And be sure to join us for our next topic on this week's, when we talk about sexuality and culture. All right. Thank you. Have a great day. We'll be right back.